Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 9th of November, recording at, it looks like, 5:38 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Okay, first the highlights here. Stock markets are generally in a consolidation phase. One that I should have put up in the chart highlights is Hong Kong, because having seen a downward dynamic a couple of days ago, we had an upward dynamic in here today that was even better, offsetting that. So again, these October lows are holding. That's what counts in here, folks. And pressing on here, Wall Street showing rallying, having shown a small loss for most of the day. Bonds under the cosh again, these long-dated government bonds. Don't like that sector, as you know. The U.S. dollar holding the breakout and extending it a little bit in here. That's important. And precious metals, despite the gold headwind, powerful, powerful push here today, led by palladium and platinum, but they're all performing. And that's pretty much it. Okay. Now let's go back to the stock markets here. You know what I've said before on this probably, but I just need to review it. Watch those October lows. As long as stock markets are not challenging those, then we must give the upside the benefit of the doubt. And some markets will do extremely well. These are largely emerging markets, as you will have seen, but some of the developed country markets are doing awfully well. Japan, which I think is probably begun a short-term breather in here right now. And in Europe, Switzerland, among the majors, has been a powerhouse, although taking a little bit of a breather in here today as well. So generally, we're seeing consolidation in stock markets, but a firm tone overall. So the liquidity factor, people who are talking about rallies through the end of the year and quite possibly into the new year, that's my best case scenario, and that's in with a real chance. I'll give it the benefit of the doubt until I see, or unless I see evidence of the contrary, and I see no evidence to the contrary here right now. Government bonds, I think this is a duff story here. I've been saying it for such a long time. Dangerous story, in other words. Still in the top formation stage. They were encountering a little bit of support above the March lows. The March lows are quite important because we saw big rallies from those levels. However, it all looks pretty tentative in here, and I don't think we'll get a really decent technical rally in the government bonds until stock markets really take fright, and that's not something that's going to happen in here today. My grand plan for the government bonds is the next good rally, I want to be shorting again, and I hope they don't run away from me on the downside. I'm talking about the futures. Yields on the upside, in other words. Incidentally, if bonds continue to head south and take out those March lows, that may cause a problem for stock markets. We'll see. Right now, I think it's beneficial because money's swinging out of bonds and into stock markets. But if the yields continue to rise, then stock markets take fright and we get some switching back from equities into bonds. But we'll have plenty of time to identify that. As I say, to repeat, at the moment, we're getting money coming out of government bonds and going into equities, and so it should in this environment. Okay, U.S. dollar. Now, the big question in my mind is, were we dealing with talking bulls or acting bulls in terms of the U.S. dollar? Well, we saw the breakout on Friday, and if it was going to fail, most failures are fairly quick. And also, most failures don't occur against the background of quite as emphatic a breakout as we did see on Friday. I'm talking about the US dollar index now. And we have seen that breakout not only maintained but extended a bit. Not a whole lot, but it has been extended. So the preliminary evidence suggests to me that there were actually more talking bulls of the dollar than participating bulls. And that would be really quite bullish for the greenback in the short term, if I'm correct in that assessment. I said that's preliminary evidence that I'm seeing on the charts. Because if most people, despite being bullish, have not been participating all that much, then we could see a fair amount of money flowing back into the sector. And it's a little bit like me in the precious metals. I got a bit scared when I saw that downward dynamic, particularly in silver from the highs, so I chopped back my positions quite a bit. I need not have done that, as it's turned out. That cost me some profit, but I can't really complain. I've done awfully well in this, but I make the point because I would in this sector. I make the point because I would say that I feel that I'm probably as bullish as anyone of precious metals. That is, at least among the people who still put their trousers on one leg at a time. I'm not, meaning I'm not a sort of a fanatical gold bug type, but I'm awfully bullish of this big supply and elasticity hard money theme in here. And yet I cut back quite a bit, and as a consequence, have picked up some more. For instance, I bought some more gold here earlier today, and I wish that I'd succumbed to the urge to buy a little bit of platinum earlier in the week. And I do mention all this, and I maintain that I touched on this in yesterday's email, that I maintain that the stock market, a stock market shakeout, is a bigger threat to the precious metals than the dollar strength here right now. And one of the reasons for that, as I did mention, but it's a point worth repeating, I think, is that the people who are buying the stock markets are also buying these resources trades, the gold and the silver, to a large extent. And that's not everyone, but to a generally large extent, because they're both booming in this liquidity-driven environment. So if the stock markets head south, then it's hardly surprising that as people cut back there and see profit erosion there, that they would grab some of their profits in the precious metals sector. And I think that's exactly what happened. Okay, what are we likely to see? Well, gold, given that downside failure here, and given that a lot of people were talking about heads and shoulders formations in the gold. I hate all that pattern identification stuff, but never mind. People are always going to do that. But if they were selling on the basis of a head and shoulders top, and as I said, many people were mentioning it, then my experience is that when those patterns turn out to, when they're widely identified and then they fail, that the market runs in the opposite direction pretty strongly. So in other words, it should take out the highs. Gold should push up on that basis. That's only one criteria, of course. But to me, it's not a question of will gold take out the high and go on and clear $500. It's not a question of will it do it. It's just a matter of question of when it'll do it. And I would be the least surprised person on the planet if it happened before the end of the year. Could easily do that. Let's see what else in here. Good days, say, in the silver. Did I mention Wall Street was rallying? I think I did, jumping about here a bit. Natural gas up a tad in here today. Remember we had that key day reversal, upside key day reversal a couple of days ago. It's not getting the follow through that I would like to see because I'm long, and so maybe some of you. But at least it's not reversing the key in here. And crude oil, having been down a little bit earlier today, is firmed up a bit. But there's not a whole lot going on in that oil market here right now. But Owen was telling me today, just got back to the office today, always a fresh eye on the markets, saying that he felt that gradual ranging reaction had lost downside momentum. With oil, and that's true. We are still finding support just a little below this $60 level, and the key point here is that the move looks like a consolidation. It doesn't look like some sort of major technical deterioration. And that's pretty much it, folks. So, all the best.